Friday, October 1st, 2010. It's a new month. Halloween month here in Foxborough. But before we get to Halloween,
things are scary already.
It's Halloween month, he says.
Well, it is. It's a month
30
long.
Days
sure.
from now. I mean, that's the next holiday, the next major.
I'm with you, Andy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Candy is in the stores.
This is from the guy who
I'm
doesn't
you,
like
Andy.
Christmas
doesn't
after
like
all.
Anything. I'm with you, Andy. Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
You're so negative.
Jeez, Andy, you're looking really good today. I'm with you.
All right.
You've been working
can
out.
We get to the moves here on the Patriots.com roster report podcast.
Sure.
This is not a podcast about the holidays and how much Paul hates them. It's about the players.
He doesn't sing Christmas carols.
I hate the holidays.
It's about the players and how much Paul hates them.
No, it's the fans.
Let's get back. Last week.
He's the only one who's glad we're
Saturday,
playing on the holidays this year.
After we did the roster report podcast, but before the game against the Bills, Sean Crable got the call up
finally.
From the practice squad. Wow.
Well, it's been 3 years.
Made his NFL debut.
If you stick with these podcasts on Fridays, sooner or later, PFW's predictions will come true.
That's right. We were predicting it, and we predicted
three weeks ago.
And finally, it happened.
Right.
He got on the field. Couldn't tell by the stat sheet because he didn't record any, according to Coach's film breakdown.
Had exactly as many plays as Vince Wilfork. So let's not throw stones.
See what I mean about hating the players? He just told me not to throw stones, and he brought Vince Wilfork into a report podcast for no reason. The guy's got a 5-year contract. He's not going anywhere.
Well, we got all kinds of power issues here at the stadium, so let's go.
Yeah, well,
no more tomfoolery.
Stop ripping Vince Wilfork for no reason.
It wasn't ripping.
So Sean Crable got called up finally. Third-round pick was off the team as of the day before training camp and throughout training camp, got back to the practice squad. On the roster. We'll get back to him if you'd like later in the podcast. September 27th, Patriots released rookie tackle Steve Maneri. But if you're a member of the Maneri family, don't get too sad because I might have an update on the story later. That's a tease.
That's called foreshadowing.
September 29th, Patriots sign offensive lineman Rich Ornberger, promotion to the active roster. Sign Thomas Austin, an offensive lineman out of Clemson.
Spent some time with the Vikings.
To the practice squad. And Steve Maneri brought back to the practice squad.
Right.
So cut. Was formerly
demoted,
off the active roster.
But was
hey,
sort
at
of
least
an addition
to keep his,
because
his
he gets back in
and his paycheck.
Employment.
The LRC
right.
from
what
RKK.
Happened, what happened to. Let's keep this going.
You trying to stop me here?
Wow.
And last but certainly not least, I think this is an interesting move, actually. The Patriots sign running back September 30th. Thomas Clayton to the active roster off the practice squad of the Cleveland Browns. You know, obviously Clayton spent some of the summer here with the Patriots, the preseason.
And the spring, yeah. Watching UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Watching UFOs. And the Patriots released offensive lineman Quinn Ojanaka, acquired in trade from the Falcons.
Ojanaka playing here anymore.
According to some reports, it was a seventh round pick. Not confirmed, but according to some reports, seventh
round
pick.
Definitely a draft pick that is no longer ours. It's theirs. But I want to talk about, I think, the most interesting move of the week is the Thomas Clayton signing and the fact that all week, not on the practice field, Fred Taylor, the toe injury that started, I guess, 3 weeks ago now, he's played, been limited, practice, it seems like it's getting worse, less practice time. He missed the entire week this week. And Bill Belichick admitted they brought Thomas Clayton in because they need depth in the backfield. And a part of this move, don't forget, is signed off a practice squad. He has to stay for 3 weeks. This cannot be a one-week thing. He's going to be here for the next 3 weeks, although one of those is a bye week, so I guess technically it's this game, the bye week, and then the next game. But what do you make of the Fred Taylor injury? And at this point, given the trade of Lawrence Maroney, given the season-ending injury to Kevin Faulk, is the five-man committee backfield a little bit thin?
Yeah, it definitely is thin. It's thinner. I'm a little bit encouraged by Bill's response to the Fred Taylor question today in the press conference. I got a different vibe than I got when he was asked about Kevin Faulk. My immediate reaction at that point was, ooh, this is bad for Kevin Faulk. The reaction I got today was, it doesn't seem like it's so bad for Fred Taylor that he's going to be out for a really extended period of time. It might be for, you know, this game, maybe after the bye week or whatever, but I think the long-term prognosis, that's just my gut feeling.
But the trouble is,
he'll be back.
I don't think anyone knows with these injuries. These toe injuries, we've talked about Deion Sanders, LaDainian Thompson, these guys, they come back, they re-injure it. All of a sudden, a little nagging turf toe injury becomes a season-ending type injury. I think there's a concern there with the way it sort of seems to have gotten worse, not better over the last couple of weeks.
I absolutely.
And they pull him out of second halves.
I absolutely agree. I think... you know, Eric is right. In comparison to Kevin Faulk, Eric, you're absolutely right. There's no comparison to the way that Bill discussed that. You could tell the look on his face, everything, you knew that Kevin was done. This one, it's not an out for the year kind of an injury, but I would say that it's clear that it's going to be at least going to limit him at least in the short term, mm-hmm. and that's why they brought this guy in. And I think that Andy brings up a good point about the practice squad. I didn't realize that initially until I was working on just a little update about that. That means he's got to be here for 3 weeks.
Right.
That means, in my mind, they're looking at Fred Taylor's going to be limited for at least
for
that long.
Yeah.
So,
or at least through the bye week. So
and that way, I wouldn't expect to see him be part of the equation Monday night. To be honest with you.
Who
Taylor?
Yeah, no,
right.
I don't think there's any chance he goes to Miami. I think
haven't seen him on the field all week.
I mean,
this
he might be there, but
I don't think he's gonna be
a big part of the action. Let's put it that way.
He'll be an actor.
The thing about this move that surprises me a little bit is that Clayton made it through to final cuts. Sure, he was cut once briefly during camp, re-signed a couple of days later, but he was basically with the team through spring practices, most of them, and most of training camp. He makes it to final cuts. They cut him, which is fine, but don't add him to the practice squad. They decide to bring another running back, Javaris James, and put him on the practice squad, leaving Clayton to sign with Cleveland to go away. But when they need to fill the roster spot for Taylor, they bring Clayton back. Why not just keep Clayton on the practice squad all this time and keep him part of your offense? That's the part I don't understand about the whole move.
Paul?
I think, and this is total speculation, but I think that Bill could probably give you one of those really detailed answers on this. And I think it just comes down to where they kind of view these guys in their careers. I think that they probably look at James as a guy that maybe can fill a lot of roles at practice where maybe Clayton isn't that kind of I don't know. Again, speculating. Maybe Clayton isn't that kind of versatile athlete that can do that. And B, I don't think they look at Clayton as a long-term answer. I think he's really in here.
A stopgap measure.
As a stopgap for the here and now in case Taylor can't go, say, Monday and then maybe coming out of the bye week. Or,
so they don't feel that way about James or else he would have gotten.
No, I think they're trying to develop James.
Right. That's what I'm saying. At this point,
they don't feel that
right
way.
Well, James is a lot younger. Thomas Clayton's been in the league. This is fourth year.
2007.
Clayton is what he is at this point, but he has some experience. James isn't ready. Yeah. It's the whole thing.
It's baseball,
4A
player. It's a 4A. It's a guy who has the experience rather than a guy who's just not ready, who's going to have the better career or may have the better career.
The career arc is at one spot for Clayton right now, and it's probably ahead of where James is right now. But they might look at.
My only point is
3 months from now, James might have been
Clayton
the guy.
Clayton may have
signed
to play Monday night in Miami.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance he will have to be on the field because.
Yes, I agree.
Ben Jarvis Greenow.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
See, yeah, exactly, Bill.
And all the other guys are small.
Right, but that's my point. No, beyond small, they're not even running backs. They have issues there. If Ben Jarvis Greenow is limited in any way or
it's
gets
all
tired
Sammy
or
Morris,
whatever.
And then you have Woodhead, Edelman.
Right.
You know, you're dealing with a bunch of unknowns.
So I think there's a chance Clayton is not only active but may have to play given, you know, he's one snap away from seeing some action. And I think that would be a reason. At least he's been in the offense for a preseason.
Yeah.
You know, he's done the offense, probably not the sum of the offense, but portions of it. I just think that's a comfort thing. But it doesn't speak all that highly to what the ground game may or may not be.
And who knows, if he comes out and has a, you know, like Heath Evans a few years ago was signed on an emergency basis and came in, had a 100-yard rushing game, and he stuck around for a few. You never know what a guy can do with an opportunity like that.
Well, that's the whole thing. And that's the way Bill does look at it. And Andy wrote a Pulse story for the next issue of one of our news stories on Kyle Arrington. And, you know, Arrington talked about you know, what was the first team he was with? Philadelphia.
Philly.
He was in Philly, then he
Tampa.
Went to Tampa.
Yep.
You know, in Philly, didn't really get the chance. In Tampa, didn't really get the chance. In New England, didn't really get the chance. Well, all of a sudden, here's the chance.
Mm.
And now he's trying to make the most of it. Who knows? Maybe 5 years from now, you're like, how could teams have passed up on this guy? He's one of the better corners in the league. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But who knows? It could. I mean, careers have been carved out of that. Rod Smith from the Denver Broncos. Careers have been carved out of less auspicious beginnings than Arrington. Maybe Thomas Clayton. That's the way Bill looks at it. Hey, I got to bring the guy in. I have an opportunity here. It's an emergency. Like you said, maybe he gets out there and rushes, you know, 10 times for 60 yards.
He's had some success in the preseason.
Sure,
led the preseason in rushing 1 year. Had another year where he was close. So he, on an NFL field, not necessarily the same competition he would see against the Dolphins, but he's had some success.
You know, the Dolphins aren't thinking about him right now, right?
Right. Until they hear this podcast, and they're like, oh, man, we got to
prepare I hope we didn't blow it.
I hope not either. That would stink.
That's supposed to be another reason that they're upset with us.
Elsewhere, I just wanted to touch on the injury report real quick. Beyond Fred Taylor missing the entire week, Nick Kazier and Terrence Wheatley missed the entire week.
Correct.
Not necessarily surprised with Nick Kazier, but Terrence Wheatley, who's been appearing in the locker room, been talking, lost the walking boot that he'd had in previous weeks. A little bit surprised that he has yet to get back into some practice action.
Yes. It seems like he was sort of involved in that back and forth with the medical staff. Like, he's been pushing, and they're holding him back a little bit, trying to be maybe a little bit more cautious.
But right.
Didn't he, like, the first couple of answers of his press briefing on Wednesday, I want to say.
It was, yeah.
You know, he said, well, you know, I've been lobbying.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to get out there. And
right, because even when we saw him in the boot a couple of weeks ago, he was walking without any noticeable limp. He was walking normally with the boot. Then we saw him with the boot off, again, still walking normally. So I think Paul's right. He kind of thinks he's ready. And maybe part of that's frustration because he's had the history of injuries here and he hasn't actually been able to, you know, really do much with his opportunities, and he's anxious to get back out there.
But the medical staff is probably the opposite, saying you're always hurt. Let's make sure you're actually healthy before you get back out there and you don't have a relapse and you're back missing two or three weeks.
In one way, I'm a little surprised that he didn't practice because he talked, and usually when a guy who's injured talks, that means he's on the way back. But after this week, they have the bye, so it might make sense that they just said, all right, you know what? Let's just take this week off. You've got another week after that where we're not playing. Then you'll be ready to come back after that. Maybe that's all it is.
That's all it is for this Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Patriots do not have the week off Monday night in Miami.
We'll be there.
Try to unbunch the top of the AFC East with what would be a huge road win for Tom Brady and company, something they haven't had a lot of success at in the last year, winning games on the road against good competition. Tune in, primetime affair. Brady and company take on Henny, Brandon Marshall, and Tony Sperano's sunglasses. Until then, for Paul Perillo and Eric Scalavino, the power made it through the entire podcast, and we're pumped. Take care.
What?